Welcome back to Three Guys in a White Coat, the podcast where we share our insights on how to become a medical student. On today's podcast episode, we're going to be talking about the big bad personal statement, the thing that I think most people fear maybe most about the application, because it's one of these things where you're like, ugh, I have to write every single reason why I want to be a doctor.
And down, very concisely.
Right, exactly. Down in a finite amount of words. And a lot of people are going to be reading this, and it's going to... Oh, so...
You having a little PTSD right now?
Just twitching over here silently as I talk about it. Now, once again, I'm Matt. And then I'm also here with Mike, as well as another Matt. Mm. And I know I wasn't here last week, but I'm back... For action, ready this week.
We're cutting him some slack. It was his birthday. He had to go see his mother.
You know,
I'm not gonna fret about it. I was a little upset, but
I'm still fretting about it.
We love him, so we're gonna let it slide.
I still haven't forgiven you, so
it's okay. Personal advice: call your mother, call your grandma, say hi, tell them you love them. They'll appreciate it. Unlike these two.
You never call me anyway. So
just... Vikram just called me out about my post on Facebook today. He said my science part was incorrect. Vikram, when you listen to this, it was a Facebook post. I didn't spend that much time on it, making sure that the science was correct. Vikram is the guy that you heard talk a while ago that I graciously gave my seat to.
You did. Hey, we invited him into the podcast.
He invited you into my home,
Vikram. He did a pretty good job.
He did.
This might be like a little step back for him.
Oh, Vikram.
But back to the personal statement. No, yes. I agree. It's one of those things that you definitely think about a lot when you're getting ready for your application. And I think we should start with just like the basic things of what the AMCAS is going to say to you. Because literally all the AMCAS is going to say basically is, why do you want to be a doctor?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's the only prompt you guys are going to get out there.
Yeah, you get a simple prompt and you have to go back and think of why you actually want to do this. And that's kind of a hard question to answer, you know, to be honest. Like, why do you want to be a doctor without saying, like, because I want to help people? Because that's like
it's
the,
a given.
The big no-no. Like, you're not going to say, I want to be a doctor because I
want
to
help
people.
Or I like science.
Like, it's hard. At least for me personally, it was hard to actually think, why do I really want to do this?
Let's start with this. Did you guys ever fail to answer that question? Like, did anyone important ever ask you that and you couldn't answer it?
Well, I think for me, like, it comes down to what Matt was just talking about is you think it's such an obvious answer where you're just like, obviously, like, I know exactly what, and then they're like, okay, explain. And you're like,
how?
Well, like, obviously.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you say things like, I want to help people, or
we'll be a teacher.
You know, I've always been interested in science.
So get a PhD. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And so the thing is you have to come down with things about yourself that are not generic, because guarantee you, everyone applying with you, all however many 100,000 people are applying, they like science too. They've got good grades.
They like people.
They want to help people.
They've done research.
Or at least they'll say that they want to help people.
Yep.
They've done research. So you need to figure out what it is that you've done in your life
that makes you you.
And it influenced who you're going to become. And I think this again gets back, and I've said this word, I think, on every podcast I've ever done, is it gets back to how introspective you can be about yourself. Do you know yourself?
Yeah.
And do you know yourself enough to admit weaknesses? Do you know yourself to understand what you're passionate about, why you're passionate about it, and how you're going to direct your trajectory to chase and pursue those passions?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the answer is, it better be medicine, but it better be some form of medicine that you know that when someone talks to you, you can go on for hours about that topic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like to that point that I asked you guys, I asked you that because I did have a moment where like I couldn't answer it. Mm. I remember I was sitting with one of my mentors one night and he pulled me in when we were getting ready for the application cycle. And I had no warning that this question was coming. Point blank asked me, why do you want to be a doctor? And I dropped the bomb. Could not answer it. Couldn't even think of an answer. Couldn't even think of science.
Yeah.
And that was the point where he looked at me and said, I know that you want to do this, but I need you to go do some more things until you can answer that question like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he was 100% right. I had to go back out and work and think about medicine and think about why I wanted to do this. So that way, when that point came, I could write my personal statement. And when I got to my interview, I could answer that question without a doubt in my mind. And people can tell if you rehearse that answer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that's one of the things. I mean, I don't know if we touched about... We haven't talked about the interview yet, have we?
No, we'll talk about it in the future podcast.
Yeah. But you're right. Like, it is one of those things that, like, if you rehearse it and you go over it, and if you say the same thing that you say in your personal statement, like, they're going to know that. To answer your question, I never had someone ask me...
I got asked it all the time.
Yeah, I never had someone ask me to be honest. Like, the first time I actually started thinking about it was during the personal statement. Mm-hmm. And it took me a long time to figure that out and, like, go through a lot of, like, you know, thinking of why I actually wanted to be a doctor. But nobody ever point blank just said, why do you want to, like, why medicine?
Mm-hmm.
But so, I'd be the same thing. I'd be like, ah.
It was, like, the, like, most freakiest but, like, honest moment, like, I've ever had in medicine.
Yeah.
So, Mike, you started talking about this a little bit. What were things that you went and did to help you answer that question?
So his big thing was go back in the clinic, because I was doing research at that point. He was like, go back to working with people and understand what it was that brought you here in the first place. Like, where are you going to go with this and all that? So I think he was kind of surprised. 2 days later, I'm one of those people. If you tell me like advice, I'm going to take it. 2 days later, I had a job in a clinic. Like, I was ready to go. Yeah. And I went right back to it and was like, you know what? You're right. Like, I need to rediscover myself. I need to rediscover why I want to go into medicine. And being at the bedside with patients was definitely one of the most revealing things of, I mean, I'd worked with patients before, but being there at the bedside 95% of the day, 40 hours a week. I mean, it's what my whole personal statement is about. And
sure.
Yeah.
Just so you guys know, we're going to do our very first PS segment after this. And we're going to read you guys excerpts from our personal statements and kind of dissect them just to give you guys some ideas of what we're talking about concretely after we're done with this.
Yeah. Yep. And I think some of the best advice I ever got, like, when writing these things is, like, A, just in relation to writing stuff of this importance, you should, like, you have a finite amount of, I think, what it is, 7,500 characters?
I think it's less than that. I think it's, like, I just looked at mine, and it's, like, 52. Okay. 100, so
I was told to keep mine under a page.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's not a lot either way.
And the thing is you should be able to look at every sentence that you write and convey something with that sentence. And, yeah. And you know, you shouldn't have any filler things. You shouldn't have any extraneous, and that's where it's a challenge. You have to be concise. You have to be to the point. You have to be direct. But most importantly, you should never just blatantly say, I care about people.
Yeah.
You so should that was, give anecdotes.
Yeah. We kind of mentioned that last week, that like one of the biggest things about writing this is not, you don't want to say, like you said, you don't want to say I'm good at caring about people, which is like, you shouldn't say that anyway, but like you want to show someone that you're very empathetic.
Exactly.
You want to show someone that you're very driven. You can be a leader. Never say, I want to be a doctor because I am a leader, and here's why I was a leader.
Bingo.
Show them.
Yeah, exactly. And that's like the biggest cliche of writing, show, don't tell. But in this, it is important because you are, again, competing with the elite of the elite, you know, from undergrad. You know, the people that want to do med school are very academically sound.
Yeah.
So,
and a lot of them are good writers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Very good.
So writers. You're going to be going up against English majors. You're going to be going up against, you know, people that have potentially even written a book. Like, that's the thing, is you need to be prepared to put your best foot forward in a lot of ways. So Mike went through what his process was about how he went about answering that question. How to be a doctor? Why do you want to be a doctor?
Yep.
What about you, Sims?
So it took me a while. I had a couple drafts to start off. And
that's you'll have many more.
You're going to have many more. I think it was like iteration 30 or 25 or something. But I started thinking back to like what I thought were like unique experiences that I had. So like in my personal statement, I talked a lot about my trip to Africa because I was like, that is something that I'm very passionate about. I'm very passionate about like infectious disease research. And so I talked about that. You know, I talked about being in the band and just trying to get ideas down that I thought made me unique. And like you said, you're not going to be completely unique. Like everybody is, like most people are going to have that experiences. But I think just sitting down and thinking about how I could relate those to like what I thought good characteristics to being a physician would be.
Yeah. And I think that all starts with that very first paragraph. If you ask me, I think your first paragraph and the last paragraph are the two most important things, because you guys got to remember out there, there were 16,000 people that applied to Loyola. they got to read 16,000 applications if they read them all. Loyola says they do. You need to grab that person's attention out of the gate. Yep. You need to have something in there that draws them in and makes them say, wow, I need to know the end to this story.
Yeah, you're going to have a few sentences at the beginning there to make sure that they are excited to read the rest of your paper.
Yes, right.
Yeah, you want to grab their attention. You want something to make you stand out.
Yeah. I think when I was in high school, one of the best pieces of advice I got was your first paragraph should almost be like painting a picture. It should be very colorful and have like a lot of description in it. So that way the reader kind of feels like they're there, that they are you, that they can see what you're seeing. Obviously, there's an extent to you only have so many characters, so you have to really, really work at this. But that first paragraph, you got to hit that thing home. And once you get through that first one, everything else kind of flows mm-hmm. until you get to that closing paragraph.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the stigma is, especially with essays of this magnitude, is... I know my first couple drafts, they were extremely formal because I was like, this is very professional. You know, this is medical school. They don't want to, you know, have any of this, you know, exotic language, or they don't want to, and to an extent, yes, but they don't want it to be boring. They don't want it to read like a manuscript.
Yeah.
They want, I mean, like Mike said, they're going to read thousands of these. So what about yours is going to make them go like, ooh, good pile.
Turn the page.
Yeah. Go. Yeah. Exactly. Even turn the page. So I think for my process was is a little bit similar to yours, I thought about the characteristics of what makes a good physician, or what I thought a good physician, or what characteristics a good physician should have, and I wrote those down on a piece of paper, and then I wrote down anecdotes from my own life that mm-hmm. showcase me exemplifying any of those qualities. Yeah. And I think like for my process is always write something and mold it. So, like, I need to have something on paper before, otherwise I will just do writer's block and stare at a blank screen all the time.
Yeah, that's. I did the same thing. I was like, you know what? I don't even care how bad this first draft is. I need to write something down. If I can get an idea down, and, like, even if it's not, it's like I had, like, blanks in mind. Because I just, like, left spots open because I wasn't sure what I was going to do.
I don't know if anyone gave you guys this tip, but one of the tips that I got was because I was doing so much film at the time, and I have a really hard time writing. Like, I get writer's block like crazy. It's just hard for me to write and to write, like, consistently. My brain tends to fire faster than my fingers can type. So one of my mentors said, you have recording equipment. Just go sit in a closet and talk about it for like an hour. Mm-hmm. And then go back and listen and type it out. And I was like, oh my God.
That's a great idea.
That is an amazing idea.
Yeah.
So I actually probably have it on this recorder that we're using. But there's probably like 6 iterations on it where I sat down and I'd ask myself a question. And then I probably sound like I'm talking to myself. My mom was probably like, is Mike okay? Does he need to go see a doctor?
Yeah.
But I think that was immensely helpful. Like, take your iPhone out, sit down, ask yourself the question, and try to answer it, and work through it out loud. And then go back and listen to it, and you can type it out. And I guarantee you that will get you – it'll get you pretty far to start, personally.
Yeah. So
you
go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask another question,
but if you got something before that,
go ahead.
Yeah, like in addition to Mike's comment there, like that's great advice. And in today's world where technology is like at our fingertips at any point, Google Drive, whatever the Apple version of that is.
You Microsoft people.
Yeah. Android.
Apple.
Whenever you have an idea like that, you know, like you hear about like these musicians that when they're sitting, you know, at dinner or something, they're like, oh, that's a great idea. They're like, I need a napkin. I got to write this down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, J.K. Rowling wrote Harry Potter, started the ideas on a napkin.
Yeah.
Like, some of the best ideas, like never let those slip by. If you think maybe I could use this, write it down because
take out your iPhone, open up a note and mm-hmm. type it. I've done that so many times.
Still do that.
Yeah. I have so many notes in here.
Yeah. And that's the thing is like, it's so much better. And I think I just say phrases. I think
you do.
I just say phrases, but like,
and they add a lot to the podcast though.
it's going to be a great filler later when I make a little blooper reel and stuff.
Yeah. It's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it.
Agreed.
And like, that's something that I think about daily. It's just like, am I going to need this coat? Am I going to need these gloves?
Dude, that's why I have like Halloween ideas on there for next year.
Yeah.
Like, I think about it. Well, I told you we're
giving you guys even like great just life advice. Right?
Yeah.
Just write everything down.
This is a pretty good one.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, Matt, go ahead and ask your question.
Oh, well, I was going to say, Mike kind of alluded to it. Like you said, it was very difficult for you to write it.
Mm-hmm.
You said you and writing just don't get along.
No, we don't.
What was the hardest hardest part about writing? Or not, sorry, what was the hardest part about the personal statement? Do you guys think? Because I know, like, for me, I'm with you. Like, I hate writing. I just do not like doing it. And I do not like writing about myself. I don't like writing about what I've done that, like, makes me unique or makes me special.
For me, I think the hardest part was keeping the flow. I tend to get really sporadic in my writing where I'll start with one topic and I'll transition to another topic halfway through and I won't even realize it. Okay. So for me, but I don't do that when I speak. I'm much better about being concise and staying on topic. And I hope that that comes through in these podcasts.
Yeah.
But
we're going to get a lot of emails that says.
So that's why I thought it was better for me to speak it, because then I would start with my topic and I'd come to my close versus, you know, I could start talking about one of my jobs at the YMCA. I could start talking about the YMCA and then how, like, I'm responsible and stuff. And by the end of it, close with, I'm a great leader. And, like, those don't, I didn't set you up for that. So for me, it was getting to a start point and trying to stay focused on that without trying to, like, deviate and get all these things in. Because I wanted to pull in everything. I wanted every single experience I've ever had in this. And you can't do that. Right. So I had to pick, like, I think I picked two, maybe three of my, like, best experiences and just, like, wove those three things together. That's how I did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think in a similar way, like, I chose to kind of tie mine together in a story-like fashion, almost chronologically, is how I progressed with kind of knowing what medicine was and then having opportunities to see it, whether they were experiences that I enjoyed having or whether it was, you know, experiences where someone very close to you gets sick and you have to experience it. And I think that is one thing that this personal statement has to be, which is going to be very uncomfortable. But it is a personal statement and it has to be personal. Like, I think you can surprise yourself when you're writing these about being vulnerable with the information that you put down on paper. And I think, like, when you tell stories that are very personal to you, you know, about your life, that comes across in, you know, like,
you can feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And don't be afraid to, like, show that you're a human too.
Right. Exactly. And so, like, in mine, for example, I talked about a relative of mine who got very sick very rapidly. And you sit there and you watch people in the medical field, whether they were family members of mine who are in the medical field, that are literally helpless.
Yeah.
And medically they're helpless, but part of being a doctor is not just being competent medically, it's being competent as a person. And, like, even when medicine can't do any more, you can always do more as a person, being compassionate, being kind.
Yeah.
And those were values that I experienced with the physicians that took care of my family members. And those are things that, you know, you have to, like, you write that, you feel uncomfortable because that's someone else, you know, like, but it was very personal to me.
But you relate it to you.
Exactly.
And that's the big thing. Like, one of the big critiques I got in one of my first ones was I talked about one of the physicians that I worked for and how much I envied her and all that stuff. And one of the doctors I worked for later said, Mike, this is great. I know a ton about Dr. So-and-so, but I don't know anything about you.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I think you're alluding to, Matt, is you want to talk about other people and stuff, but you need to make sure that it relates back to you. And you, it needs to be about you, not about them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so, like, writing about that was difficult for me because I felt by telling it from my perspective, I took away from their story until, you know, like, someone who I had edited it was like, you know, like, this is a very powerful part of your essay, which I think is a good part. While it's very hard to tell and, like, you may feel uncomfortable putting this down, especially in this way, there are things that you learned watching that occur and being there while that occurred that you couldn't have learned otherwise.
Yeah.
So off of something you just said, how many people did you have edit your assembler? Because this
too
is a
many.
Big thing.
Too many.
Too many.
And I think there is too many.
Okay.
I'd agree with
so that. So I had four total edit mine. One of them was one of my TAs at Wisconsin, and he was kind of helping me through, like, the entire application process. So he saw, like, the first draft, he saw the last half.
Mm-hmm.
The other three were all coworkers who were, like, MD, PhD students. So, like, grad students, if you guys don't know what that is. And one was a resident, but they only saw it, like, towards the later half of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, and, like, to that point, I think there is too many people to look over it, because I was getting a lot of conflicting ideas where I would change one thing and they said, oh no, like change, like don't do that. Do something different. I would change it back, send it to another person. And they said, oh no, 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 you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But you have to have people look it over. Like, this is a very difficult thing to write
on your own,
just even in general, even with people who've like done it before, like it's very difficult to write. It has to be written, not to like scare you guys or anything, but like it kind of has to be written in like a certain way.
Yeah,
like we've been saying, like, yeah, it's a process. Like show, don't tell. Like,
yeah, this is not a paper. You have to
learn how to do that.
And you guys are probably all sitting there right now saying, oh, show, don't tell, that's easy. I'm telling you.
It's hard.
I'm telling you, I'm not showing you.
Yeah,
it's hard.
Yeah.
And it will test you, and it'll test your patience, because you'll be like, ah, you know, yeah, I can get away with having one sentence that doesn't really mean anything because I need it to. You can't do it. You can't compromise.
Yeah.
But I would say, too, to the editing thing, I found I had probably like 7 people edit mine.
Wow. Okay.
But I kind of liked that because I had my 3 that I like listened to, the people that I trusted, that I knew the process, and their opinion was the bottom line for me. But I thought it was nice to have the other people read it just to see what another person's brain would think about. Maybe I used a word and they said, well, why did you use that word? That has a weird connotation to it. I don't think that works.
So did you have non-medical people then?
I had non-medical, I had PhD, I had doctors, I had my parents, my friends.
Yeah, because I know I had a friend who did, she had someone in medical school read it and was like, had been through it, obviously. And then she had like English professors read it.
Yeah.
Like, cause like that we're not the most grammatically. Yeah. Yeah. We're not the most grammatically sound people. Like it just helps hearing it from a professor or someone who like studies English and says, oh, you know, you could get, this is a little wordy, get rid of that.
I do think it's important though, when it comes to the editing, to find someone that's going to push you. Cause I had, one of my physicians that was doing it, no matter what I did, no matter what, it always came back, you need to keep working on this. This is not at its point yet. Yeah. And one time it was getting close to the deadline and I kind of like, I was getting so close to the deadline. I kind of like bit a nerve and I was like, I am doing everything humanly possible right now. I cannot make this any better. And he shot back, you're done. And I was like, oh, okay. So he was just going to keep sending it back to me until I said, enough was enough.
He wanted to see what you thought of it. He wanted to see, like, if you got to that point where you're like, I've done everything.
Right.
And I don't know how I can make this sound better.
And that's what he sent back to me after. He's like, my job is to push you. And I was going to continue to push you until you couldn't be pushed anymore.
That's a great.
Now I know that you are done.
Yeah.
And you can submit this. And I was like, okay, submit.
How about you, Matt? When did you?
Yeah, I get,
how many people did you have?
I mean, this is why it's great, because I think like the three of us all have like 3 different sides of the dice. Which is like, you know, it's always great because we always have every part of the spectrum. Because I was right in between that. I had like 5 people but I think the way I went about my editing process, first of all, I did like spread it out between like medical people, non-medical people. I think one of the ways that I found most helpful for editing is when I came to a part that I was having a hard time with, I had friends of mine that I would just talk about things with. And so it wasn't editing in the sense that they were like reading my paper and reading my writing. It was editing my thought process. Yeah,
structuring your thoughts.
And just being like, hey, so like...
A soundboard.
Right, exactly. Because here's the thing. And you need honest people in your life. You don't need the yes men and women to be like, oh, you're doing great. You're a great person. You know, you need the people that are gonna be like, hey, I really like these things about you, but at the same time, this is what you're not good at, and this is what you need to work on. And I think those are the kinds of people you need to talk to while you're doing this process. Because when I was like having a hard time thinking about, okay, how do I show empathy? Am I even good at showing empathy? You know, you can talk to your friends and be like, this is, you know, frame it how you want it. Don't just crush down the door and say, hey, how am I empathetic?
That would matter. Very empathetic.
Yeah. No, wake up. I'm important.
Pay attention to me.
Yeah. I think so. That was a huge part of my editing process that helped me formulate thoughts. And then after I got it on paper, to avoid having too many people look at it and to keep it my own thoughts, I designated what I would have each person do it. So I was like,
oh, I like that.
You're going to edit this purely grammatically. So like, and it's hard when you ask people to do that because they're like, that's it. And so you want, like, you don't want my other opinions. And like, I respect those opinions. I really appreciate them. But like, for me as a person writing something very personal, if you can just do this one part, and then you go into someone else like, hey, could you please edit the flow of this? And then can you please edit, like, do you think that these are appropriate stories? So I think that was the way that I wanted to go about it, to make sure that I didn't have everybody telling me different, like the same thing about different parts. And so for me, that was extremely helpful, but that was, I didn't just have that idea. I came to that conclusion that I needed to have that done.
Yeah. I think that one thing that we've all kind of spoken to is that we've all had that one person though, that was kind of like your secondhand person whole time, that like they saw you through the whole thing. And I feel like you need that. Like, for me, that was my dad. My dad's a really good writer. He's really good grammatically. He's good at understanding this stuff. The personal statement frustrated him beyond belief. But, I needed him. Like, and for those of you out there that have someone that will help you with this, like, me and my dad would sit at that. I'd come home from work at, 7. He'd be home before that. We'd sit at that dinner table, and we would just crush through that thing. We'd read it. We'd edit it. He'd send me off. I'd go do it. The next night, we'd come home. We'd do the same thing. You gotta have someone that will do that with you. It's imperative. It's so important.
Yeah, you can't do this on your own. It's like the entire application.
You
like,
can try if you really want to. I will commend anyone that can do it on their own. Like, you are a unicorn. We need to duplicate you and do a bunch of other things.
Well, have you come on the show or something? Just tell you how you tell us how you did it. But
we'll change it to one guy in a coat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I did kind of like the mole version is I would come out of my hole. Mm-hmm. Please read this. And then they would like mark it up and then I'd go back into my hole.
You're like, was it Schmeagol in Lord of the Rings?
Essentially, you know.
Read this. Read my precious.
And then, say with personal statement.
Yeah.
This is my personal statement.
You know, so you come out of your hole, you have them read it, and then you're like, okay, I'm going to go back and do this again. And, you know, and especially if you do it in that process, then it's very, very imperative that you have. And like with your dad, like that's awesome. And like, that's so cool. Like that you were like there in person, but like for me, like some of mine were over emails with people. So then you kind of you can't have as much interaction, but I agree with you that you should have someone that you can at least see face to face and discuss it openly with.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
So,
I had a question. You can go. I got to think.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say like, the best part about the personal statement is and we can give you advice to an extent is that it is extremely personal. Everything is going to be different. But I know we've said this before, whether it's about activities or research experience or just things, is you do not have to make everything medical.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't try to.
No, especially don't, and like,
yeah,
don't force it.
Yeah. Like, don't draw connections that aren't there.
Right. Yep. And so like, I saw a lot of things. You know, like when I was writing this, of course, I was on the internet researching. That has its own
benefits. That's another thing that we should talk about.
That's dangerous in its own sense. But like one of the things that I, you know, like kept coming across was like, don't fake a medical experience, you know, one of my first drafts, I was talking about like, you know, like, oh, when I was a freshman in college, my roommate sliced his head open and everyone was like, let's go get Matt. And I was like,
Matt to the rescue.
Right. And it's like, they actually don't want to hear about those stories,
no.
which is the thing is like, and you're like, you think like, oh, I did a medical thing. It's like, but like you didn't, you
That's
weren't
probably
you're not
worse.
It is worse.
Yeah. And it's worse if you try to portray it like it's more than it was.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because when we go to the PS segment afterwards, mine is kind of like that. But that was one of the biggest critiques I got from the doctors was you went too into this. You were too young for this to really have been like this. Scale this back and it'll be fine.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I agreed. Like after I reread it, I was like, oh yeah, no, I didn't save that kid's life.
Yeah.
I put a paper cut on him.
Exactly. And you do that. And like, don't get me wrong. Some of you are going to have amazing experiences where you really did like,
right.
You know, like rescue someone at a point of life or death.
And that's if that's
and talk,
true.
And talk about
and,
that.
And talk about that. But at the same time, do not ever portray in a way that shows that you assume the role of a physician, that you feel entitled to becoming a medical student because you've done this in the past.
Right.
And I think that that is the biggest point is through experiences, whatever they are in your personal statement, whether they're medically related or not, you have to show humility. You have to show empathy. You have to show those characteristics that are going to make a medical school look at you and say, that person's going to make a good doctor.
And yeah. You can Google a lot of these things too, and they'll tell you like a lot of these like key words that they're going to try to pull out of your essay. And they'll tell you the definition of them. It's like global health is like some things that they look at. Like you just said, empathy, yeah. Leadership. You can Google these things and they will tell you like words to use in like your personal statement to help you. Like, I'm not offended. I went to Google for everything. I put a word in there, and if I thought there could be a better one, hey, Google, what's a better word for this? The better word for this is, and then I put that in.
Exactly. Yeah. Because, I mean, and again, like, it is you. Like, never, like, if I were to be using a word, like, that was well out of my range, and if...
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Right. But, like, so the thing is I think that, like... It's funny is I think that you run into this thing where if you try and sound, you sound like if you try and
it's not
sound,
Scrabble, you're not going right. to get points for yeah. these words.
No, you keep it simple too. I mean, if you can say it in like one like simple word, mm-hmm. say it. I'm gonna say something that I'm gonna bounce off of what you said. Sure. I always got the advice was don't put something in it that you don't feel comfortable talking about it for like an hour.
Yeah,
right.
Because like if you're like. To use your example, like if you like he sliced his head open and he saved his life, like you should be able to talk about that. And that kind of goes to your entire application, that goes to the supplementals, that goes to everything. Like when they interview you, they are going to tear it apart and they are going to look for things that they find very, very interesting. And if they're not true, and if you can't talk about that, big red flag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this is actually something that I learned talking to some people in an admissions center. Is
which we should do at some point in a future podcast.
Yeah. Well, we will. But the thing is it's funny is they know how many people have looked at everybody's personal statement. They know that, you know, this has been written 20 times. So guess what? They're going to assume that it's pretty dang good.
Yeah.
They're going to assume that this is the best of your writing because it's had the time to be edited by everyone you know if you mm-hmm. wanted it to. And it's had the time to be refined to where it fits everything that they're looking for. So if it doesn't, that's going to be a red flag for them that says this person, even with everything stacked in their favor, can't put forward a good product.
Don't make grammatical mistakes.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's my biggest thing. And like I said, I'm not a good writer. Grammar is like my worst enemy.
Yeah.
So that's why I had some people read it. But to kind of go off that, you know, we're talking about how much time and effort you should put into this. But one thing I kind of want to have you guys think about is you don't have to write this in 2 weeks. If you're applying this year, you should be starting your personal statement now. It's January when we're doing this. We're going to try to get these up as soon as we can. But you guys should be started on this and working on this for months. Like, I don't mean like you should be working on it every day for months. You should be working on it for like a day. Then take a break for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Let it sit. Let it mellow out. You cannot write this thing, read it the next day, edit it, and be done. It's going to take a while. And just give it the time it deserves and let it mellow out and relax and read it again with fresh eyes. That's the best way to do it, I think. And you can't do that if you don't give yourself the time.
Right. No, and I'm sure too, because I'm sure I had the experience where I was studying for my MCAT now at this time. So I'm sure like a lot of people, you're worried about doing a lot of things, MCAT, personal statement, like work activity statement, letters of recommendation. Like there's a lot of stuff that you got to figure out. But Mike's right. You don't have to work on it for like the next what, 5-6 months.
Yeah, straight.
Work on it for like a day on a weekend. Leave it for the next weekend, go back, like do all your studying, all the stuff that like, you know, the MCAT takes a lot more time to be honest, but take time for it. Even if it's just like,
I think the MCAT carries a lot of weight too.
Sure.
It does. Yeah.
Sure. But, but then again, like, you know, a great MCAT score with someone who can't write.
Speaks like a robot.
Oh dude, I was the exact opposite. My MCAT score was terrible.
Yeah.
And, same. Like, I had a good personal statement, and I had, like, good grades and, like, letters. Like,
I would say I was balanced. I was not a juggernaut, and the MCAT definitely did not make me personally a juggernaut.
Yeah.
It was more so, it was balanced, and then I needed to use my other stuff to bring it up. I think we talked about this before, but just as, like, a side note again, you kind of have these things that you need to do trying to get to medical school, and you can't overload one and have it flowing over and leave the other things empty. You need to make sure that you hit these things across the board.
Right. And then I think in the same way, like this is, I guess, a relevant metaphor, is like on your MCAT score, if you have one section that's a 132, oh, yeah, and yep, you have another section that's a 128, but then the other two sections are absolutely abysmal,
they're going to look at it.
Yeah.
And I don't even know what those numbers mean. I never even took the new MCAT.
Right, but what I'm saying
you,
is...
Old MCAT.
I'm old. You didn't have to take psych, so that was awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think what Mike said is right. It's let yourself balance, you know? Like, and if you have a bunch of... and this isn't to say that, you know, since if you have a great MCAT score, if you have great experiences, you should allow yourself to be weaker.
Exactly.
In so any regard.
Yeah. I had a friend who was like that. He got like a 520 or something.
What's
like
the equivalent of that on my old score? Like, so 30 was the average for
yeah,
mine.
No, that was like a 508.
508, was, I think, was a 30.
508 was the average, the 30.
Yeah, I don't...
So basically, it was 520, like 520 like and above. 35?
It was probably like a 35.
Percentile.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like very, very smart kid.
Jeez.
Had no volunteer experience. Not one. Did not do any single shred of volunteering. And, like, had, like, decent grades. I don't think he did any research either. But he didn't get an interview. He never even got an interview anyplace.
Well, so it's funny. At some point, I do want to try and do this in a future podcast. My buddy Dan, he's getting his PhD at Columbia. He has a couple of friends that are working on their own algorithm to show that. And they shared with me a couple of them. And you can see there's, like, a sweet spot where the MCAT scores are, like, mid-range. And you can see there's a bunch of people that have amazing scores and amazing GPAs. They're in like the top right corner, like the highest of the high, and they don't get interviews.
Yeah.
So I think that at some point in a future podcast, we should talk more about that. And I'm going to reach out to him and see if I can get like a conference call with them.
Sure.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Sure. And then, and there are things that you can go online actually and see. You can, there's a whole bunch of charts and diagrams that are very similar. Like, this is my score. This is how many hours of volunteer I have. And it is all a numerical basis.
Yeah, that's
read into whatever
does.
You want.
Yeah.
But I think, in regards to like the personal statement, that is one thing that you have in your pocket, which no one can quantify numerically.
Right. I was going like, to say that, I mean, too. Yeah.
Sure, they can rate you like out of 10, this was a 9 or like this was an 8, but like that is your moment where
shine.
No one has, like, no one else influences that other than you.
Right.
And you could say that on your MCAT score, but, like, the MCAT's a hard test, blah, 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 all this.
It's all in your control.
It's all quantitative.
Exactly.
Too, yeah.
This is all in your control. You sit down, and if you give it the time that it deserves, just like in any, I mean, if you had a patient someday, you wouldn't, you know, rush through it. Like Mike said, like, take your time, give it the time that it deserves to make mm-hmm. sure that it is what it should be, you know?
Yeah.
How long were your personal statements?
I don't know like what the limit is.
Barely, like it was a page and then like a paragraph after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got, my first one was like kind of long. I think my first one was like 8 paragraphs, and the doctor I was working for at the time was like 5 paragraphs, no more.
Yeah.
He was like, I read these every year. He's like, I don't have time to read more.
Exactly.
So even though they're going to give you guys as many characters as you can, like we said with the letters of recommendation, if you have the option to use 5, but you only have to use 3, and you only have 3 good ones,
okay,
use the 3 good ones. Don't add filler. Same thing with a personal statement. If you can get that thing done in 5 paragraphs, and you are happy with it, and it's concise, and it's to the point, don't feel like you have to add more. Get that thing to pack a huge punch. You want this person to read it and feel like you just knocked their socks off.
Because they can notice fluff.
Yes.
They can, this is not your college essay where you can be like, oh, what's the word count? Okay, well, this is no longer a smoothie.
Yeah.
It's a frozen, pink, delicious, flavorful smoothie. Like, you cannot do that
on
these things because they will notice fluff and they will notice that there is a lack of effort.
Yeah, and also along with that, don't try and add in a bunch of experiences if you can't describe them all. So I made that mistake during my first draft. That's what I did. I made that mistake during my first draft. Where I think I had 5 and it ended up being like 6 paragraphs. And that was like the big comment that I got back from the person who was reading it. He said, you know, stick to 3. You can describe 3 very detailed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great point.
And like, don't try and, it's kind of like,
everything else
is in
your application.
Right.
You're going to have to do your experiences like we talked about anyways.
Right.
So it's not like they're not going to read those things and see, you don't need to pack all this in. This is about getting them to turn that next page. It's like, what's the show where they build houses for people and they go, move that bus.
Street makeover. Yeah.
You want your person that's reading this to be like, move that bus. So they keep reading and flip that page. Like, that's the goal. That is the absolute goal of this personal statement.
And Matt, that's a great point, because this is definitely one of those times where quality outweighs quantity.
So much
because you, like you said, Matt, like, you can't describe six experiences and let those experiences show you as a person. I think you can do a really good job, and that's where it comes down to be personal. Nobody wants to have so you did a research thing and it was good, you did this great, oh wow, we're moving on to the next thing already.
And it probably overlaps quite a bit. Like, I don't know how many, like, mine sure did. Like, I wasn't trying to describe, like, eight different, like, qualities that I had. I was trying to describe three or four different qualities using eight different experiences. Yeah, and, like, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I think a lot of people would say the same thing. Like you said, make sure it's very detailed. Don't try to say, like, well, I'm a leader because I've done this activity, this activity, this activity, and just, like, say a sentence about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if there's one thing that you guys are going to take away from this, and it goes the same thing that we've talked about in a lot of these things, show, don't tell. Like, I know it sounds easy right now. It sounds like, oh, they're just telling me to show it and not tell it. But it's going to be a little bit harder. And like we said, this is going to be fun at the same time. I know we've said that, you know, it's going to be hard, it's going to take a long time, but it's going to be fun. You're going to learn a lot about yourself while you write this. I never realized that I wasn't as introspective. Is that the word I want?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. That was, I didn't realize that I had that capability until I started doing this. And then that's when I really started thinking about things and thinking about who I was, where I wanted to go. And don't be afraid in these things to say, you know, I've done this and this is kind of where I see myself going. You don't have to have a true commitment to that. I have been told by some people that when you apply for residency later, they will, if you applied to their school before, they will pull up your personal statement.
I've heard that too.
And see if, like, you followed through. So, like, if you said, I'm going to go invent this new drug and I'm going to do all this stuff. Maybe you didn't invent the drug, but, like, if you're still doing, like, pharmacology type stuff and that's your track, they're going to say, oh, okay, like, this person really was passionate about this.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's okay to change. Like, if they pull it up later and you're now doing something completely different, that's cool. But they will, I've been told that they will go back and look to see if you've stayed on track or what you've been up to.
Yeah. And I think, like Mike says, this is a process that can be fun, because
it can be a lot of fun
if you give yourself
looking
time.
Back on
well, because I mean, like, for the thing is, I don't know about you guys, but, like, when I needed to, like, think about things, I'd go for a hike. I'd literally take a hike. It's funny.
You ever hear, so Steve Jobs always said that his favorite thing to do was he'd take, if, like, they were gonna have a business meeting, he'd take them for a walk, because his point was, you have to talk on the way back.
Yeah.
No matter how, if you walk a mile talking, you're going to have another conversation the whole mile back.
I like that.
Versus, like, if you're in a conference room, like right now, we could just turn this thing off and leave and be done. But if we were walking doing this, we'd have to walk all the way back.
Yeah.
So, like Matt just said, get out, go move around, go do something. This doesn't have to be like a sit in your room, like that statue that has, like, its fist under its chin.
Ooh, just
like
the thinker.
Just thinking really hard. That's not what you have to do. You can go out and have fun. And when things come to you, like we've said, keep a notepad with you. Have a note in your iPhone. Have a recorder. Whatever your thing is, do what you got to do to get this thing done.
Right, and it's personal. Yep. So, like, your thing could be listening to Ed Sheeran.
I wonder who that could be.
Plug for Ed Sheeran.
I will say one last thing.
Yeah.
The one thing I would say is start making a list of, like, everything that you've done now.
Yeah.
Because
keep track of it.
Yeah, I'm very bad at thinking back of and remembering things that I
keep
did.
Keep a journal.
Yep.
Yeah, and
it's my last bit of info. That's all I got.
For sure, no. And I think, like, the takeaways from this podcast, a little summary is to give yourself the proper amount of time. Give this the amount of time that it deserves, because it deserves a lot. Like, this is a big part of your application. Get vulnerable. Get dirty. Like, admit things in this paper that show that you care about this, that you're willing to put yourself on the line and invest in it, and make sure that you are looking at the qualities that you think make a good physician, and making sure that every sentence of your paper is just absolutely just expressing those qualities without a doubt.
Agreed. Yep. And I don't really have anything else to add. I'm going to let Matt close it up in a second. But So this is going to end this segment of the personal statement. We are going to do our first ever Three Guys in a White Coat PS segment, where we are going to talk about our own personal statements. So if you're all done, if you don't feel like listening anymore, feel free to stop. But if you want to continue listening a little bit more, feel free to open up the next podcast and give us a listen and see what we did. So Matt, I'm going to let you close us out.
Which one?
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
This has been another episode of Three Guys in a White Coat. Thank you guys for tuning in. This is Matt signing off.
This is Semler signing off.
This is Mike signing off. See you in the PS segment.